Public News Service Tuesday Afternoon Update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump lashed out at Israel and Iran Tuesday for launching attacks after he had announced a ceasefire, highlighting the fragility of the deal that seeks to end 12 days of deadly fighting. That from the New York Times. They report in expletive-laced remarks to reporters, Trump said he was not happy. He sharply criticized Israel for firing on Iran right after we made the deal and said that the two adversaries didn't know what they were doing. A White House official said Trump had spoken with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Tuesday morning and was firm and direct about what needed to happen to sustain the ceasefire. Next up for Trump today, the NATO summit. Meantime, groups that fight for equality and inclusivity in healthcare are urging Governor Gavin Newsom to sign the state budget as is, leaving LGBTQ+ healthcare grants in place.
Newsom has until Friday to sign a balanced budget that closes the $12 billion deficit. Ariella Cuellar is with the California LGBTQ Health and Human Services Network, a project of the nonprofit Health Access California.
Now is the time for Gavin Newsom to really prove his allyship in supporting a budget, funding LGBTQ resources and community centers to improve our lives.
The governor's May budget revise proposed $40 million in cuts to programs like the California Reducing Disparities Project, the Gender Health Equity Section, and the Office of Health Equity, but lawmakers kept them in place. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And Virginia is in the thick of hurricane season, along with damages to homes and businesses. Severe storms can send animal waste into riverways throughout the Commonwealth. As of 2020, there are more than 200 factory farms in Virginia and many factory farm operations store manure in lagoons as it waits to be treated. John Rumpler is with Environment America. He describes a lagoon filled with animal waste, then a hurricane or a severe storm occurs.
Well, what you get is the problem of overflow. These manure lagoons can overflow, and all that animal waste can then wash out into a nearby river, lake, and stream.
Last year, Governor Glenn Youngkin approved new legislation on animal waste storage to prevent groundwater contamination. And state governments are fighting back against scammers who make use of cryptocurrency kiosks to steal money from people unaware they're being targeted.
North Dakota's law, adopted this spring, requires ATMs designed for cryptocurrency transactions to be licensed. And there are now daily transaction limits. AARP says nearly a dozen states had taken such action in recent months. The organization's Francoise Cleveland views the daily caps on moving around funds for each user as a vital tool in getting a handle on this problem.
Because once the money is gone, it's gone. And the daily transaction limits help to lessen those losses.
AARP says Americans lost more than $246 million to crypto ATM fraud last year. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. Nearly 30% of Gen Z college students decided where they would attend college based at least in part on political reasons, according to a new report.
The report by EAB found 14% of prospective students removed a school from their list for being too conservative, and 12% did the same for schools they deemed too liberal. Pam Royal with the research group EAB says it's not so much that students are seeking out universities that align with their ideologies, but as they're making final decisions, the political leanings of a school might lead them to take some off their list.
They're eliminating certain institutions that they believe are misaligned with their political values, either because they're too conservative or they're too liberal, they're in a blue state or a red state.
She adds that students are also watching student protests at prospective colleges and how university administrators respond to those protests. I'm Simone Perez.
14% of students also removed a school from their list for being too elitist. Next, Mississippi faces a perfect storm of disaster vulnerabilities, according to a new 50-state analysis.
While the state maintains strong emergency response capacity through its National Guard, a study from Smile Hub, a national nonprofit that analyzes community resilience and charitable effectiveness, reveals deeper systemic gaps that landed Mississippi in last place overall. Researcher Luke Powers, whose mother happens to hail from Pascagoula, explains what's dragging down the state's score.
Mississippi ranks last overall due to very poor health infrastructure, low digital access, and high vulnerability to climate disasters, despite the relatively strong National Guard presence and a decent emergency management budget.
The study examined three key areas: community resilience, where Mississippi ranked 45th, emergency planning at 32nd, and disaster risk, coming in dead last at 50th. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Finally, June is National Pollinator Month, And an agricultural group that aims to empower women in conservation is bringing awareness to how prairie restoration can aid the declining population of bees, butterflies, and other pollinators.
Through its Wisconsin Women in Conservation program, the Michael Fields Agriculture Institute is showing how reintroducing native plant species, among other practices, can reestablish these endangered habitats that support an entire ecosystem. Christine Johnson with the Institute says their current focus of pollinating lands and communities is intentional for many reasons.
Besides being a place of empowerment for women in this space, which has traditionally been male-led in focus, we are also reminding folks that conservation is a practice that should persist even as our resources are depleted.
I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.